With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
For over 10 years, VOC Nation has taken listeners behind the scenes of the greatest moments in pro wrestling history. Our hosts are not only experts on the business, but have lived in the business. Subscribe and hear weekly podcasts from hosts like legendary pro wrestling journalist Bill Apter, former Impact Wrestling star Wes Briscoe, former WWE and AWA broadcaster Ken Resnick, former WWE and TNA star Shelly Martinez, former WCW star The Maestro, NWA legend The Raging Bull Manny Fernandez, and much more. VOC Nation programming is free on most major podcasting apps, including iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and Radio.com. And video podcast and bonus content is available on Patreon for as low as $3 a month. What are you waiting for? Head to VOCNation.com and dig into the most comprehensive podcast network built for pro wrestling fans. Find us on Facebook and Instagram at VOC Nation Wrestling Network and follow us on Twitter at VOC Nation.
Now, before we get started, let's talk just for a second about Patreon.com. Did you know that the beginning of the month is the best time to sign up for Patreon.com/SassySteffi? Let me tell you why. Because you're going to get all of my great exclusives this month when they come out on the nose. So you don't want to miss that because there's so many great things going on Patreon. And you're going to get everything that I've ever posted before as well. So make sure you go and check that out. Tiers start at only $2 and get more exclusives as you go up in the different tiers. So again, that's patreon.com/sassysteffi. If you want to follow along on Instagram and Twitter, you can, of course. It is at SassySteffi on both of those. If you're watching on YouTube or your favorite podcast platform, don't forget to go and subscribe. And don't forget to hit that bell notification on YouTube. If you are on your favorite podcast platform, which last week, let me tell you, my podcast went nuts. The wrestling Twitter and the wrestling websites got a hold of my Michael Tarver episode. And because of the stories that he shared, I mean, it went off the charts. I was so surprised. So I hope that many of you subscribed because subscribers are so important. But I also ask you guys, please go rate and review Talking Sass. And one that I got this week happens to be from Female Locker Room. It says, love this podcast. Just discovered it a few days ago and love that she has great background knowledge as well as some genuine friendships with her guests. Excited for more. And speaking of being excited for more, I have so many stellar guests lined up for you guys. I'm so excited. And that includes today's guest, who is just another wonderful person that I'm so glad to have on the show. She is the second ever woman to hold the Cruiserweight Championship. You've seen her in WCW. You've seen her in TNA. You've seen her in Shimmer and in Shine. She is one of the original Scream Queens. This is Daphne.
Yay!
Hey, Daphne, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Steffi?
Good. It's so good to see you. I feel like, I know the last time that I would have seen you would have probably been probably about 5 or 6, maybe even 7 years ago at Shine.
No, it's been...
Has it been
long? It's been five.
Okay, okay. Mm-hmm. I knew it's been some time.
Uh-huh, yeah.
So how have things been for you?
Well, I've had a lot of, like physical health problems. I stepped away from Shrine. Last time, I can probably say that down to the month, it was probably December of 2015, because that's the last time I did a Shrine show.
Okay.
And Lexi was the manager, and I had been managing the All-Star Squad,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, had everybody in there. And then... we had a meeting, and I was like, you guys, I'm like the curtain jerker of my own company. I was like, so he repackaged me as a heel, and I tried to change my look and everything. And then we ended up from Luke Hawks, we got Katie Forbes and Alana. Oh gosh, I can't, I'm not being rude. I just don't remember.
Okay.
And what we thought that their wrestling level was not what they thought. So it was all good because Lexi, we ran in and like somebody threw a table. I don't even remember. But then we went and ran out the front, and Lexi was like, "Get out here and don't come back." And I said, I went home and I looked in the mirror and I go, "Don't worry, I'm not going back." And the last time I ever, well, it's just it's not that I'm like, oh, I'm too fat. It's just, I'm unhealthy. Something's wrong.
Yeah.
You know. And so then when you're not healthy, you can't perform right. When you're, you know, it's hard enough having to fight your own brain, but then me having to fight my own body, I didn't think there would be anything more difficult than learning how to function on a high level or with a mental illness, where the physical struggles are, I have an appointment with a functional medicine doctor on Monday. Laceface was, I was talking to her, and she's like, "See if it's covered by your insurance." And I found out, and her birthday is the 27th of April, and I'm going on the 26th. But it's, yeah, because it was like that happened. I just started to blow up, gain weight, got big, and then my neck broke. Mm-hmm. So then that was like a whole nother, and then I moved. And then I started to have a lot of hormonal problems. I went into perimenopause at 38.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And then when I came back to Atlanta, they were like, they didn't even diagnose it down in St. Pete, in Tampa. Mm-hmm. They just kept saying, "You're just getting overweight. You're just, you need to diet and exercise." And I was working out every day, and I just kept. So then when I came up to Atlanta, a holistic doctor said, "You're in full-blown menopause, and you went through perimenopause, and that, and you have no thyroid, and da 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 da." So I got back on some medicine for that. Yeah, that's why I kind of like have been way, and I started to get better, and I did a couple WrestleCons, and I did a couple seminars, and then everything started getting bad again. And then I had postmenopausal issues, had postmenopausal bleeding that was diagnosed at the beginning of the last year, before, over a year ago. And I should have gotten it taken care of, and I waited all the way until September. And by then, she had to just, like, gut me and take everything
out. Oh, my
out.
Goodness.
So there's thyroid, and then some doctors say my thyroid is completely wrong, and then some say there's nothing wrong with it. So yeah, that's why it's called functional medicine. Thank God for Laceface.
Yeah.
She's so smart. Because I'm like, Lacey, do you think acupuncture will help? You know, I'm like, you know she's a doctor, right?
And, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm like, what? And she said, try to find a doctor that will do that. But that's the most, my point is coming to, is that is the reason why I haven't seen a lot of people. I turned down interviews for the longest time because I was ashamed of the way that I looked. And I felt like I was just sitting there, what life was just passing by. So it was really hard. And now, I mean, nothing's really changed except for I just don't really care anymore.
Oh, but I mean, such an amazing, like, from the instant I met you, and I know that you want to tell that story, so we'll hold off on telling the story. But from the instant that I met you, like, you have always been just this glowing personality no matter what's going on in the world. And I know, like, you've already mentioned you've had, you know, some mental health issues. But, like, from the outside of people that just know you, like, because, I mean, obviously it's been a while since we've seen each other. We don't see each other every day. Like, I always see you as just this beautiful, bright personality all the time. You know what I mean?
Well, thank you. And vice versa, like, you see people at their best,
yeah.
You know, at your worst is when you're, so thank you. I like to, always was kind of like the ham in the room. I was always trying to make people laugh and stuff. I don't know. That's just how I am. So people feel more comfortable, you know, get a little laugh. Like, it's okay. You can joke around with me.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, what?
Oh, not just that you are a personality either. I mean, you, honest to God, are like one of the nicest people, because I know for Shine, it would be like 5 o'clock in the morning and you're inviting people over just to stay the night at your house to get a couple hours rest before they get back out on the road. I mean, you didn't just do this with me. I'm talking lots and lots and lots of people. I mean, you are one of the most giving and caring people.
Oh, thank you. You're it welcome. Was one of my, that was how it started. In fact, I did a Twitch stream earlier. I have a channel, but I haven't, done much with it. I've just kind of poked around and, I've watched AK stream a little bit, watched Leva a little bit, watched Thea a little bit, watched Marty the Moth a little bit. And I'll get on there and I'll just start talking. And somebody said, yeah, well, do you think you'll ever go to Shine? And I go, are you serious, dude? I was like, I started Shine. Yeah. and the guy was like, mind blown. I was like, yeah, bro. But no, so it started off with me and Sal. Mm-hmm. And I went to we went to WrestleCon when WrestleMania was in Miami, and that was in 2012.
Yeah, I was there. I remember that. Yeah,
that's when we roomed together.
Oh wow!
Yeah, do you remember
where the idea of Shine came in?
No, that was just me and Sal. Him, I hadn't seen him in a long time. I hadn't seen anybody in a long time. I was still really, really concussed. I don't know if you remember. We took a picture, but I slept next to you. But I mean, I was freezing in the room. And we didn't, have any blankets.
Yeah.
And it was expensive as hell. And, I was still really out of it. I was so concussed. I had spent so long on my couch. I couldn't even drive or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so he just said, I said, oh, I missed it, man. He goes, hey, I was thinking about starting a women's company. I want to talk to you about it. Because we'd worked on projects before.
Mm-hmm.
And so then we started talking more and more, and I go, you know, I've been kind of out of the loop for the past year or so with my, let's bring in Lexi. And oh, so yeah. then Lexi, they,
the
then
best. Just,
and I apologize, Lexi, because it was fun for the first year and a half, because Lexi just went ahead and took over the travel stuff, because it made sense, because booking the girls for Shine, and then what she was going to do for custom the next day. And that's how my house was the Shine house.
Yeah.
The Daff Cave, or whoever. She would just tell me each month who she needed, how many. Can you take five? Yes, six? Sure. Whoever, someone can sleep in the bed with me. And then the last Shine, before I sold that house, Leo had moved out, and we had 15 girls.
Wow, that's a packed house.
That's on my YouTube channel. If you're on Sassy's YouTube channel, you'll see back at the Daff Cave, and we did a Harlem Shake video. And it's all the internationals are in it. It's crazy, but yeah. So I'm sorry. I don't know why I just.
Oh no, that's actually funny that you mentioned that, because even at Shimmer and at Shine, there was different groups of girls. You call the international girls, it would be the Australia girls, the British girls, and then me, Nevaeh, Jess were always the Ohio girls. And sometimes even Allison Kay, even though she's not from Ohio, was grouped into that group as well.
But I mean, Midwest. It's funny
because everybody has their own little cliques, and you just call them by from wherever they're from.
Yes. It wasn't, weren't you guys the Midwest Mafia?
Midwest Militia.
Militia. Yeah, sorry. I knew it was, so I used to say one of them Midwesterner girls.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, but it pertained to not just you three. It was
it was Midwesterners. Everybody that came from that area. Yeah, for sure. Well, let's go back. Let's talk even before wrestling. Because I told you before, there was two things I didn't know about you.
Oh.
And I was really surprised by. And you weren't even born in the United States.
No,
I was Army brat.
Air Force.
Air Force. So, okay. I saw Army, but Air Force. Okay, Air Force brat.
Yeah, he's, my dad was in the military for 21 years, and it's really sad. I was thinking about the other day, I'm like, what do you say for Air Force?
Yeah.
Like, Army, it's hoorah. Marines is Semper Fi. What is... I don't even know what Air Force. What do you say? Aim high? I don't know what is. But anyway, yes. And I was born in Wiesbaden on the Air Force Base there. And my brother was as well. I have one older brother. And we moved all around the United States, never kind of I was born to do this, because I didn't live anywhere longer than 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then he retired to Atlanta. So, while we were still in the military, we went and I lived in England. It would have been equivalent to second, third, and fourth grade. Mm-hmm. And then I lived back in Germany, not in Wiesbaden, but at Ramstein, for fifth and sixth grade. So I spent a lot of my childhood growing up overseas.
Can you speak any of the German language?
Oh, I just like your typical, like, you know, how to say thank you and please and where's the bathroom or just like a few things. But I could do the accents.
That's awesome.
There a lot of, when I lived over there, I mean, it was 87 when we moved back over to Atlanta and I was in seventh grade. Yeah, that's right. So, a lot of people in Germany spoke, and we lived on an Air Force base, so, you know, we had all that stuff. But,
well, that, to me, like, I think traveling the world at such a young age like that, even though you're, I mean, mostly on the military base, you're probably going to school and everything there on the bases, but that has to be, like, the best education in the world, because you're not just getting, like, your in-school education, you're learning about history outside when you're visiting the different cities, you're seeing different perspectives of the world. Would you say that's a fact for you?
It was like forced upon me, and me and my brother were like, I don't want to go to Shakespeare's house. I don't want to go to Windsor. I don't want to watch the Changing of the Guard. But I've done all those things. I've been to Scotland. I've been to Glasgow. I've been to Edinburgh. I've been to Wales. I've been to, I always do like a Nicky Sturm, because when I say I've been to Scotland, I go, oh, Nicky, I love Nicky Sturm. She's so great. And I love, we went to,
though, honestly.
I know, God, I love her. And we went to Loch Lomond. My shoot last name Spruill is from the McFarlane clan, and they're from Loch Lomond. And so we drove up in a caravan and stayed over there when we lived in England. So when we lived overseas, I went to the Black Forest. We bought a cuckoo clock. I went to the Hofbräu Haus and had a sip of beer out of these big mugs. The Hofbräu Haus is this famous beer house. And if you take, like, all these big pints, the women will just and then they, like five a piece, and they're all really strong. And my mom and dad, they're like, okay, have a sip. So you just had, like, a little sip, like, ooh. So I'm glad that they did that. And at the time, it was like pulling teeth to get you out the door. But once you were there, you're like, oh, look at that. So cool. All right. Yeah. So, yes, I'm glad I got to see. You know, we went to Northern Italy for some soccer tournaments. I got to see some Italy. But, yeah, I mean, because some people don't have – some people – I mean, I'm like, you've never been on a plane? What? Does not compute, you know.
Yeah.
So
– Well, that's crazy, because I've had this discussion with my husband a gazillion times. I said, a lot of people in the United States, they never leave the United States, because you have beaches, you have mountains, you pretty much have everything you need in one country that you don't need to go outside. And of course, that's a naive way of thinking, but it's the way a lot of people think. But then, like me, I've traveled to England, I've been to Greece, I've been to all these places, and I'm just like, the history is so rich outside of the United States, because considering, I mean, the U.S. is a young country compared to, like, you know, England, for example. And it's brilliant. I think traveling is the best way to learn anything, because you're so interested in everything that's going on.
Yeah, it's always nice to meet new people. That's what, I mean, I was already kind of in my own little lockdown for health reasons, where I wasn't kind of limited. And then when the actual lockdown happened, it kind of made you realize how much you miss. Oh, I think I'm going to go visit here one day, you know. It's just, I don't know. Now things hopefully will open back up. But it is. I want to go. It's kind of weird, but I want to go drive through a redwood tree. Go to California, there's like a place where you can drive through. I think it costs money now, but I don't care. Sure, save the trees, please. I don't know why that's like my next holiday I want to do, but.
That's awesome.
That's cool.
Really awesome. I would love to see the redwoods too. Like, I've been to California, I don't know, a bunch of times, but it's always been in the big city. It's always been in San Francisco and in LA. And then it's usually like, okay, I'm in, I'm out, goodbye. Like, there's not really. The one time I went to San Francisco, it was the day the world was supposed to just, like, explode, I guess, according to the Mayan calendar. The world was coming to an end.
So wasn't it like 2012 or something?
Yeah, it was May something, 2012. And there was all these end-of-the-world parties going on. So, like, the guy who drove me from the airport, he was like, you got to see all the stuff that's going on. So, like, drove me around. And I was like, this is freaking bonkers. But I got to see Alcatraz from far away and the Golden Gate Bridge on the way to the show. So I was happy because, like, well, Alcatraz, yeah. I'm a huge fan of ghosts and all that kind of stuff. I'm into the paranormal diehard. I don't know if you remember that at all. And
I didn't remember that fact about you, but I should because I am too.
Oh.
Oh,
we can have some conversations.
My sister-in-law, the lady that lives across the street, her husband had a terminal illness. Mm-hmm. So she, to then, he's like, I'm going to haunt you. And they would joke about it. I mean, he wasn't being a jerk. You know, he'd be like, I'm going to come back and haunt you. And he's like, it's going to be with them, like, electricity. And ever since, like, he passed on and everything, every once in a while, there'll be, like, a flicker or there'll something. And Amy, like, she's been on the phone with her, and she'll go, Daryl, I swear. Something happens. And I came home from that trip, and I shit you not. I'm sorry. Excuse my language.
Oh, it's okay.
I was sitting here in the hallway right outside my door, and something flickered. And Hazel, my dog, ran out in the hallway, and she was like, oh. And it did it again, and you could tell she wasn't trying to go downstairs. She wasn't trying to go into Dina's room. She was in the middle of the hall like this, and it flickered one more time, and she quit and came in there. And I was like, I called Amy, my sister-in-law. I was like, I think Daryl followed me back home. It was so – I had goosebumps, Sassy. I was like, he's saying, like, thank you. Or he said – it wasn't bad vibes. It was good vibes.
Well, that's
totally good vibes.
So many people, there's such a negative connotation to ghosts and the paranormal because everybody's used to seeing these horror movies where it's all evil. But, like, if you go in, like, when I used to do ghost hunts a lot, I went to one where there was a Wiccan who came in, and she gave us all these little, like, bags of, like, sage and all these different, I forget what it's called exactly. Anyway, she gave us a little bag of these things. And, like, it had a poem on it. And, like, so I took that poem and modified it, like, basically, like, hey, I'm here to just learn about you. I'm not here to hurt you or destroy you. I want to learn. Like, I'm, you know, I'm passionate about finding out what's going on and if there is an afterlife kind of thing. And I've never had a negative situation ever. So, and
That's
like,
awesome.
Yeah. So I've done that tons of times. And so all the negative stuff that people talk about, if you invite it in, like, obviously you'll see TV shows where they're like, oh, somebody just scratched me. Well, yeah, but you're provoking them. Like, you're being a jerk. Mm-hmm. What do you expect? If you're a jerk to me in real life, I'm going to punch you or scratch you or whatever. So why wouldn't I do it in the afterlife?
Exactly. So, trip you up.
It's all in your own perspective. And, you know, you create your own aura and your own energy, and they feed off of it, basically, is the way I look at it. But that's a whole nother podcast.
I'm down.
Talk about that for hours. In fact, I want to have on, I have some friends on some of those TV shows and stuff that I want to have on, but because of their TV schedule, they're just so damn busy. It's like impossible.
Ghost Adventures.
Yeah, I met all of them back in the day. I actually did a ghost hunt with them.
Did you really?
Yeah, it was awesome. not a TV one. It was like a convention, but like we did an overnight. Yeah, it was awesome. I have pictures with all of them. It was amazing.
I used to have a crush on the one camera guy that got married and then he ended up getting divorced. I watched it that many seasons in a row.
Wow.
I watched Zach get all buff and then like, why would he do his hair like that? Like, who told him that his hair looked good? He was cuter when he didn't do that, but he had a good physique.
Yeah.
And I can't, the other guy was cool, but for some reason I thought the one camera guy was kind of cute.
Well, it was funny because when I went to that convention, I was following all of them on Twitter, and I was the spirit champion at WSU at the time. So I actually DM'd one of them, like, I'm coming to see you guys, and I'm the spirit champion. Woo! I'm like, just so totally cheesy, totally marking out like a little bitch, you know? And, like, he actually, like, he came out, like, walking around the fans and stuff, like, before we even went inside, before the place was open. And, like, he was like, oh, you're the wrestler chick. And I was like.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pie, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends, so for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcasts, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510, he's declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.
This is the best day of my life at that point in time because I was so hardcore into it. But like I said,
awesome.
Another podcast.
Oh, we can keep going. This is good stuff, man.
You got to meet him.
I will tell you all about it later.
I wanted to meet him, man.
But
I was actually happy when I heard he got a divorce.
I was, like I said, I was totally fangirl. Like,
I would have been too.
Above and beyond.
I would have been too. It's fun being a fan, you know?
Even wrestling, like, people always ask me, like, you know, are you always going to be, I'm like, look, even though I wrestle, I know all the bullshit that happens backstage, the stuff you don't see, that kind of stuff. Like, I'm still a fan. I will always be a fan. I was a little kid that watched it. I was a teenager that watched it. I was in my 20s when I watched it. I was wrestling, and now I'm doing a wrestling podcast. So I will always be a fan no matter what. Like, it's just the bottom line for me. Mm-hmm. But it's hard nowadays because they have wrestling Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and I'm like, how am I supposed to record a podcast now? Like, I want to watch all of it.
Yeah. Well, see, that I'm talking about being a fan of something other than wrestling.
Yeah.
And me, I'm the other way. I don't watch any of it.
Yeah.
I just find through my friends, I just kind of, and occasionally I'm like, ugh. But I like, I mean, just fan going out for the Ghost Adventurer guys. I would have been like, can I have your autograph, man? Oh, man, can I take a picture with you? I totally would have worked.
It's crazy when, like, you know, you go from wrestling into another, like, I guess, fan situation. Like, you know, you're used to having fans, like, talking to you. And then you go and you're like,
oh, God.
Awesome. But let's talk more about you. And everything that you've done, because the second thing that I did not know about you, and around this time, I was in high school, so that probably explains it, because I was not, like, I was hardcore into wrestling, but I wasn't watching it, like, all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And you actually wrestled Miss Elizabeth on WCW.
Yeah.
And If I'm correct on this, because I read this too, you like basically like answered an ad in the paper or something for WCW tryout?
No, that's what my character did.
Oh,
that's
okay.
That's what my character did. People think that that's legitimately, but I mean, honestly, Sassy, it might as well have been, because it was a call for an audition for someone to play a crazy stalker woman to stalk David Flair. And I just so happened at the time to be dating Rob Prago, who actually called me today. I needed to call him back. We dated for a while when I first, and we watched wrestling together, and I had watched it when I was younger. And so I had gotten my bachelor's degree in film and video production because I minored in music because I played the cello and acting. Because I knew if I, the likelihood of making it in front of the camera was so small that if I could maybe at least work behind the camera.
Right.
So I did some things like that, and I worked as a production coordinator and a teleprompter operator, and as well, Rob's an actor, big actor here in Atlanta. And then finally, one of the ladies that I used to get all our talent from, Houghton Talent, she says, well, you're freelance now. Do you want me to send you on some auditions? She's like, I'll rep you.
Yeah.
And so I did a couple of, like, Georgia Lottery commercials. I did a more voiceover work. Mm-hmm. I did one small little student film or indie film. I can't remember. And then they're like, will you fly to Milwaukee and do an on-site audition for WCW? And I was like, sure, you know? And so they flew me and another girl to Milwaukee, and we just went and sat in catering. One of the Harris brothers, and I'm like, oh my God, you know, and we're sitting off over by kind of like ourselves because mm-hmm. there wasn't very many people in, but then all these people, because Sting comes in, you know, like, oh no, I'm just going, oh my God. And they came over, and Craig Leathers is the executive producer. I'm friends with him on Facebook. He said, so we need someone to be crazy and kind of stalk David, because he's been, and I go, oh, like he's been stalking Kimberly? And his face, like, I knew, I was the actress that's being hired, and I know what's going on, and I'm a fan. And so his eye, and I just, I in my head, I go, I've got it. I think they're going to pick me. The other woman was really nice. She just looked a little more mom-like. I had like a tank top on, and I had my tattoo was out. Mm-hmm. You know, so they came back and they said, okay, we're going to go with you. Your name's going to be Daphne Unger. And I was like, okay. I said, can we spell it with two F's? And I don't know. No, I didn't figure that out till the next time. So when they finally put my name and we spelled it anyway. But so they were like, okay, stay here. We're going to, and she left. And then Hacksaw came over. And was like, hey, how are you? What's your name? And starts talking to me. And then I looked over and there was a Harris brother sitting across from me and a Harris brother sitting over there. And I was doing this. I was like, what? And I was like, oh. So I was like meeting all these people for the first time in catering. And it was just, like I said, it was the most bizarre, crazy experience. So I was always an athlete. I always played soccer and I was a goalie and I had to have no fear about jumping off of stuff. And then I'm an actress, so it kind of worked out well for me because my acting got me in the door, and then my willingness to, within 2 weeks, say, can I come to the power plant and go there every day? And who was there? Nora, Hall of Fame, first person I ever got in the ring with. She's the first girl I ever got in the ring with.
Well,
she was
at
the power plant.
She was on the podcast recently, and she was talking about how she was at the power plant and how she really liked the training of other girls aspect. Like, she didn't care if you were an actress coming in or a model or whatever. She really liked that side of wrestling. So that's awesome that you got to experience that with Nora, because she's just the sweetest.
I have my notebook. It's a Wonder Woman notebook, and it says 210-00. So that was me and her in the ring. It's like drop, toe, hold. Like, all, like, the names of all the moves that I've learned that I know. And then, like, comeback spots. With my seminar this weekend, I have always a list of things, and I want people, they bring a notebook and a pen. Don't just think, oh, I can take it in my phone. No. Bring a notebook and a pen.
But going back to this Miss Elizabeth match, a lot of training at that point? Because, I mean, if I went back and watched the match when I first saw it, and I was like, what? This is crazy. But, I mean, you guys literally had, like, 35 seconds before Medusa and Molly came in, or Nora or Mona, however you want to announce it at that time.
I think I usually say Nora because she was Miss Madness.
Miss
you know,
Madness, so. Mighty Molly, Molly Molly.
Yeah.
All of
them. That was like a kind of a little bit of a sore spot was when they released that series, Dark Side of the Ring.
Mm-hmm.
And they released the match made in heaven with Randy. And did you watch it?
I didn't. I don't get it here, unfortunately.
They say the main people that are interviewed for that episode are Eric Bischoff, Bruce Pritchard, and Scott Hall. Mm-hmm. None of them were there at that time at WCW. And they say, yeah, she is the first lady of wrestling because she made it. She was an actual superstar, and she never had a match.
Yeah.
And if I would have had something in my hand that I wouldn't have minded an extra $2,000 for a TV, I mean, I almost threw something at the TV. I was like, no, how dare you? How dare they disrespect her like that?
Yeah.
The reason why, which I will tell you the story and I'll keep it short. The reason why they say it goes WCW, you know, she's dating Lex. They don't go into this much detail, but Lex had her in an apartment at Main Event Fitness in Marietta, and like right around there, that was his gym that he owned with Sting. And me and my ex-husband Rich used to go work out, and I used to hang out with Miss Liz, and you know, so I knew her very, very well. And they just talk about, oh, she was dating Lex, WCW folded, 911 call. And I was like, well, where's the part where for months you guys made her come to TV, dress her in camos, and force her to work in the ring, and she was terrified.
Yeah, I can imagine.
She was absolutely petrified. She's like, Daff, because I used to go, and then we'd go out to lunch or something. I mean, we were friends. She would call me. We would talk. And so she's like, Daff, they're making me actually have a match. And she's like, so I said, if it's with Daphne, she'll try and keep on getting. So she's getting this crash course. Now, she's been in the business how many years at this point?
Mm-hmm.
She's never, ever done anything other than slap someone.
Right.
So we went down to the power plant just to, I told her, I said, I'll run around and scream and yell and kill time. And then I'll just scream at you and do your slap, which I could understand. Hulk Hogan came up to me. He goes, that paintbrush hurt, didn't it? It did. My jaw was like, I couldn't, if I bit hard, it kind of hurt for about 2 weeks, but she didn't knock it out. She just got me in life right there.
Yeah.
But I spinned all the way around, as you can see, spin all the way around. And then she picks me up and she gives me a hair bill. And then like, that's really, I think like two of them or something.
Yeah. I think two.
And I just literally like, we had 2 days. We went over that 2 days.
Wow.
And because she literally,
Medusa and Mona come out.
Well, then we had to do last minute then once we were at the arena.
Oh,
she wanted me out there with her. Yes, yes. And Deuce, I love Deuce. At this point, I feel like she was frustrated. There was no women's division. They weren't doing it. Why are they making Liz wrestle when she doesn't want to wrestle? Deuce wants to wrestle.
Right.
I want to wrestle. Molly wants to wrestle. Why can't we all have fun, you know?
Yeah.
They brought in Sherry Martel for a couple dark matches. So, which I saw you, I popped when I saw your Sherry thing.
Yeah, she's my little angel on my shoulders. Even though I never met her, she's still my angel.
I met her.
I know.
I almost got to wrestle her, and she unfortunately passed away before the date. It was booked and everything.
She actually, it was 2007, and it was in June. So I had, it was 3 months of me wrestling, and then she passed. And like, the only time I was even remotely close to her, like in the same building, was I went to the Hall of Fame in Chicago when she was inducted. So that's the only time I was even in the vicinity of Sensational Sherry, or else the world would know about it. I probably would never shut up about it even now.
I saw her wrestle Deuce, like to warm up the crowd. It wasn't even part of the show, I don't think. And she came to the back, and she had this Polaroid picture, and she was like, this is my son. I got this in the mail. And I was like, oh, my God. She was just so nice to me. I forgot to ask her for a picture or her autograph.
Yeah.
And then the next thing I know, she's being booked at Wrestle Birmingham, and we were supposed to do – Robert Fuller, the Tennessee Stud, was my manager,
mm-hmm.
and so she was going to come and try to steal him from me, and we were going to have a fight, basically.
Oh, that would
have
been fun.
We did two pre-tapes, and it was a three event gig, like over three shows. That's what we had her booked for. And I remember she'd just be like, oh, it's me and Fried Pie. Back together, Fried Pie. So that was her pet name for Robert Fuller, was Fried Pie. So there you got a funny little fun Sherry fact for you.
I love it. I love I love when people actually come on and share their Sherry stories with me. There's not a lot of people yet. Like, I know Shane talked a little bit, but I mean, I love it. Cause like I said, I never got to personally meet her, but like, I always ask, like if I'm especially talking to somebody that she spent a good part of her career with, I'm always like, can you tell me a Sherry story? And I'm like a little kid in a candy store. Like,
oh, thank you.
She was awesome.
Yeah, I'm sure she was.
Oh, I wish I could have rested her. I'm sorry?
I said she was to me anyway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She was so innovative.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, well before her time, obviously. But even then, I mean, we're talking, she wrestled, what, the 70s, the 80s, even before women's wrestling was really on TV that much. I mean, you would have a match, but that would be about it in... Anyway, that's a whole nother story, too. Let's talk about something else, because I know that this was something that we talked about that we wanted to talk about. When you were with TNA, mm-hmm. and you were in a dark match with, I think her name was Betsy at the time, you got a bruised sternum, a stinger, and a concussion, all in that one match. And then you were eventually, you were let go at that point, right? A couple weeks later?
No.
No? Okay, tell me that story.
Well, that's actually, like, I just posted it about it. And if you don't mind, do you mind if I read it?
Yeah, go for it.
That would be cool. Because it was just the 11-year anniversary of this. Because I wrote this last year. And it came up, and I was like, oh, my God. Has it already been a year since I wrote all this? Because it was kind of... Last year was the 20th year anniversary for so many things for me, for being the WCW Cruiserweight Champion in 00.
Yeah, you were the second woman ever to hold it.
Yeah, and Deuce the first.
Yeah.
And so then, but my 10-year anniversary was that of me having my last match.
Yeah.
So it was like so bittersweet last year. And, you know, I mean, I was already in therapy, and I think everybody else joined in because it was just so chaotic. A decade ago, 4/20/10. So now it's 11 years. This match happened. It was the very last time I went through the curtain with my brain fully functioning. Not a day goes by that I don't dream about performing again. But it's just that, a dream. Protect your heads, youngin'. And then I said, P.S., someone asked who this was and did she apologize. At the time, she was working as Rosie Lottelove. Mm-hmm. Later, you know, she came to Shine and she was Andrea.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So I said, it was no one's fault. I said, sometimes these things happen. She did call and check on me and talk about it. We never had heat, and I feel horrible that this event was extremely tough for us both, but in different ways. Years later, when she came back and I was running Shine, we brought her in, and her and I did a little scuffle when I was managing the All-Star Squad, and she was still Calval's bodyguard. It was cool to show the world that we both had put that match behind us and could work as professionals, but also on a personal level, she is a very sweet person, and I wish her nothing but the best. Because people immediately, like, I put this match happened, you know, and I got hurt, and, like, it did seem like I was blaming her. Well, it didn't seem like I was blaming her, but people were automatically, like, dogging on her, so I was, like, added this whole long PS section, like, no. That's not the point why I'm doing that. I'm doing it to say, if you don't feel comfortable, just say no, you know? Right. And what had happened was I have my left knee is like my real weak one. Mm-hmm. So if someone puts me in a tree of woe, you have to hook my right leg. You can't hook my left one because my knee pop out. Mm-hmm. And because of her size, what I had planned to do was she put me in the tree of woe. I kick her. Then I grab her, then I flip up around until she's in an inverted DDT.
Okay.
That makes sense? Like, yep. Walk up around. Yes, thank you. I knew you'd understand.
Like a slight vertical.
Yes, but from starting like in that position. Exactly. Yeah. So that's what I was going to use as a finisher on her. Mm-hmm. Like, come out of nowhere. Well, then Bubba comes over, Bubba Ray, and says, this is coming straight from Vince. We're going to need you to put her over. Okay, well, all right, let's rethink how we're going to do the psychology of this again. And no. I was like, we can still use that spot in there somewhere. And then Bubba comes over again. At this point, Al Snow has tried to help us. He's like, all right, call it to me. And we're calling it to him, and we're both so nervous. He's very, very intimidating. He intimidated me a lot. And so I wanted to do a good job. And he'd say, why are you guys going to do that? What's that? And I was just like, okay, well, I wanted him to just basically tell us what to do. Mm. Three times we'd come back and we'd lay it out a little bit. And he'd say, what? And so finally, we both wore so much makeup. I mean, I wore all that TNA makeup. She had all that Rosie Lottolove makeup. We're in the makeup room, like, calling it to each other because we're first. You right. know, we're getting taped first. So still, even at the go position, Bubba is like, why don't you do that? We should just do the Bubba Bomb. Now, I know what the Bubba Bomb is because I've seen him do it a million times. Mm-hmm. And I've never taken it from anybody. But I know the concept, and I know you're supposed to bridge out. And, I mean, I'm flexible as hell. You know, I can bend and back.
Yes.
So I was like, okay. Well, whenever we came to the spot, first of all, she was hooked the wrong leg. So you can hear me on the camera go, other leg, other leg. And so she does the other leg, and there we go. And then I was supposed to do sunset flip so we can do the Bubba Bomb spot. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, boom, she doesn't go down. I'm like, sunset flip. Boom, sunset flip, you know. Finally, it's her time. So I jump really far because she had gotten herself knocked backwards.
Okay.
So we were, our ring positioning was off. So I'm actually in the very dead center, and her legs were, I couldn't get the bridge out of. So I said, if I lay here, she'll just do like the Yokozuna on Bret Hart, like jump up and then land on his feet, but look like he's sitting on me.
Yeah.
He's like, she'll know to do that, you know, and she's thinking she's going to move out the way. So she came, she just did, you know, legs up in the air and all her weight came down on my chest.
Mm.
And so it was just, you know, like how you can't read minds.
Yeah.
It was just, it was miscommunication. Well, I was supposed to move. That's why he was like, yeah, I saw you didn't move out of the way, but I was stuck. I mean, if you see, it was like, I couldn't wiggle out of it. And it wasn't good to do it cold for the first time in the ring. If he wanted us to do that spot, I would have practiced it with her.
Right.
To get the feel of it. But we had all this pressure. People were like, well, just say no. You don't say no to Bubba Ray Dudley at the go position when you're wrestling his student that he's trying to get a job. I'm sorry, but you don't. if you want to have a future in the business, which coincidentally, that was my last night that I don't even remember the end of that match. And it was a bruised sternum, a stinger, and then I couldn't feel anything from my waist down for about 15 minutes.
Oh,
so we thought I was paralyzed. Yeah, they're like, go ahead and straighten your other leg, Daff. And I was like, and I looked, and like Terry Taylor was there, and like D'Lo, and I was like, it's not moving, is it? And they were just, so they had to take off the bottom rope off the ring, and then put me on a stretcher and carry me out.
Whew. Yeah. But I mean, after that, I mean, that caused a lot of things that I wanted to go into. You had a workers' comp with them for the, I want to make sure that I wrote this right, unsafe working situation that you were in at that time.
Yeah, basically, well, it was, I filed a workers' comp claim because I was trying to change the law. So right. I didn't file a lawsuit, didn't file a personal injury. But what you do is, you know, when you're on the job and you're a carpenter and you break your thumb at work, workers' comp. So if you're a wrestler and you get hurt at work, workers' comp.
Right.
Because we're not independent contractors. We're employees.
Yeah.
Which is why I fought it in court for 2.5 years. And I came this close. But you have to go through the Department of Labor in Tennessee and Nashville, and the headquarters where they're at. You have to file in a certain place. And, I mean, they did so many nasty stall tactics. But the reason why I could have filed a personal injury claim and probably personally gotten a lot of money, or I went about it the other way and went through a workers' comp attorney to literally try to have a judge rule on whether we're considered employees or independent contractors. That would have happened. There would have been back taxes. It would have affected the WWE. And it would have been a very expensive decision. It would change. It would have changed the law.
It would have changed the whole business. I mean,
it would change
everything.
And I think that's what Kelly Klein is trying to do now. I know you and I were going to try. I couldn't really find too much other research, but I think she's trying to prove that we're employees and not independent contractors.
Well, from what I read on Kelly Klein, like I knew her years and years and years and years ago because she's from the Southern Ohio area, same area as Nevaeh. But she was let go while she was recovering from a post-concussion syndrome. And on Twitter, she said, ROH refused to pay her a living wage and they don't have a concussion protocol and she was not allowed time off to heal properly. And she also filed an employment discrimination lawsuit based on pay and all that kind of stuff. So I think she is trying to change it a little bit. But I know when I had Angelina on earlier in the year, she was in January when I had her on, she said that Chris Norwinski has actually gone to ROH and did like a seminar talking about concussion protocols and whether or not they have one in practice. I have no idea, but at least they have him coming out. Have you ever thought about talking to Chris Norwinski about concussion protocols and all that kind of stuff too?
Before he was doing any of that, I guess it was 2011. Mm-hmm. I reached out to him. So 10 years ago, I reached out to him. I signed up for the Donate My Brain program at Boston University. I spoke to one of the doctors there. So when I die, I have a card in my wallet. My brain goes directly to BU and Boston. But Chris called me, and we talked for a while. And I was people didn't know what CTE was. I was like chronic traumatic encephalopathy. And, you know, I'd say, I've got this thing and my brain is this protein. And, you know, that's how it was 10 years ago. So it was before all the helmet laws changed. Mm-hmm. It was such a long time ago. So, I mean, I was part of the Legends program because for the study on CTE, because if you're a professional athlete, then you do a survey every year and they keep track of like how sharp you are and wow. Compared to someone else. Yeah. So when you said, have you thought about talking about Chris Lewinsky? I was like, yeah, I did, girl, 10 years ago. I know this brain's got to go to science. Someone's got to figure out what went wrong up here.
Well, I mean, there's been, like you said, this is 10 years ago now. There's been that movie that came out that talks about concussions. There's been, mm-hmm. I mean, lots of things I think have happened. Like you said, the helmet laws and stuff like that. I know NFL's changed a lot of rules on helmet to helmet and all that kind of stuff. I mean, it definitely is a whole different world since then. So do you think that this is going to be the betterment for everybody in the end?
I don't know the particulars of her case. Mm-hmm. I know mine. I wish I could have kept going.
Yeah.
And I had this set of circumstances where, you know, it might have gone our way. Who knows what would have happened.
Right.
But I wish that those similar set of circumstances will happen to someone else so we can get it changed the way it needs to be changed. We need to have retirement benefits so we don't get thrown out like the trash.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I mean, that was just, you know, crazy because that is exactly what happens. And then for someone like me who I gave everything I had to my sport and then here I am, I need a neck surgery, I need a this. Well, I don't have anything put away. Everything is 1099. And then you got to pay tax on people. I wish I could tell you guys how much I made in the year 2010. And when Terry, do you know that you made, I'm like, it's barely above the poverty line. So I'm thinking, really?
Yeah.
It's sad. So
it is
very sad.
Oh, that's, again, we could talk another podcast about just Kelly, from what I read, is fighting for wage as well, saying that she got paid like four times less than some of her male counterparts in ROH. But I'm not here to say, you know, what's going to happen tonight, because I mean, that's
who knows. It's gender equality. That's equality pay throughout in the whole world, you know.
But there are some other stories that I want to share, some maybe a little bit more uplifting stories. And I know that you want to share, and I think this will be interesting to hear it from your point of view, because I know it from my point of view, how we actually met. Because this was probably, 2006, 2007?
When was your...
I wasn't even wrestling yet. I don't even know if I was training at this point in time.
I think you weren't. It was okay, so 2006.
Then, we're talking this is 2005, early 2006 then.
Yeah, yeah. And it was just the right amount of warm outside, so it was probably springtime.
Yeah, and I think it was May, maybe?
Maybe around there, yeah. Okay, and I think I drove up with David Young and Sharky and Norman Smiley, and the only other person that I can really, really remember was SJK.
Yeah.
And he already was a huge fan of his, so it was cool to see him. Then it was cool to see Sharky and Norman, and then I was involved in their match. I think I was Shark. Was I Shark Girl and Daphne?
I think you were just Daphne. I don't remember Shark Girl at that point in time.
Yeah. So I was just being Daphne, being annoying. And the ring announcer, it was a really good card, and it was a nice little venue, and they had, you know, quite a few seats, and a lot of them were full, and people had signs, and it was a cool little layout. And the ring announcer was just fumbling over his words, and would just like kind of, and they wouldn't talk loud, they talked too loud, and just wasn't like he would just be like he was reading, you know, and so, I think didn't someone have a sign for you already?
Oh, maybe I don't remember. Like I said, I wasn't even training at this point. I was just ring announcing at this point. So, I mean, maybe there was, because the next show that they were having, I was taking over as ring announcer. But when they contacted me, they had already had this guy. And I was like, yeah, no problem. I'm just going to come down to the show and check it out, just so I know what I'm basically getting myself into. Which literally did I know I was getting myself into something that day.
That's going to take over your life. Because they literally, I think we were like three matches in. It's taken forever. Everyone was annoyed at the ring announcer guy. He's saying the wrong thing at the end. He did, you know, all this stuff. And so he goes, get that Steffi girl from out of the crowd. And then the other people run around with their clipboards and everything. So she said, she'll do it. All right, we'll keep going. So we're like, yeah. So I was back there going, go, girl, you go. And then she rocked it. It was like, I don't think you flubbed a word. You didn't look nervous. You looked a little bit nervous, but you didn't look like overly nervous. So you did a great enunciation. Great. You know, like you knocked it out the frickin' pick.
Especially from what I was covering for. So my recollection of the show is I was actually really nervous because this is the first show that I'm going to where, like, it's not just the local indie guys. Like you said, David Young was there, Shark Boy was there, you were there, Norman Smiley. I mean, there was a lot of people on this card that were just like, I'm like a little girl, like, coming in like, oh, I really got myself into something here. But I remember the match that I got called, like, during, like you said, probably the third or fourth match, it was Shima Zion, which is now in NXT. And he was so pissed because the guy mispronunciated his name after like 30 times telling him in the back, like, how to actually say it. And Shima is not really that hard of a word to say. But anyway, I remember going to the back. Somebody called me back, and they're like, can you please take over ring announcing? And one of the things, I was never, like, the best ring announcer. I'll put that out there. But, like, I tried hard. And one of my things was, if you're going to be in the ring doing ring announcing, you should at least be professional looking. So, like, I like to wear a dress or a pantsuit or at least something decent. I'm not wearing jeans. And I just remember this guy, he was wearing jeans and like a like really big t-shirt and was like tripping over the ropes too. Like, it was just awful. And I apologize if that guy is listening. I'm sorry, but I'm just stating facts here. And I remember I came up to you guys and you guys were going through your match and I'm just like, holy crap, like, I'm going to meet Daphne right now. Like, I don't, even nowadays, like, the guy wrestlers for the most part don't impress me. Like, I'm obviously, you can tell by my podcast, I have like 70% to 80% women on here and not really the men. Like, there's a couple people who impress me that are guys, especially if they're bigger names. But, like, I was like, I get to see Daphne. Like, I was so excited. So I'm glad I didn't appear nervous to you because I was shitting bricks, like.
But you seem to right amount of nervous, because I mean, because okay. I mean, I'm nervous, and when you quit getting nervous is when you quit. You know what I mean? But you weren't letting it control you.
Yeah.
You
know, no, you kept at that shit, point in time.
You were able to do that and knock it out of the park, which was very impressive. It's so clear in my mind, that memory. I can remember how I had my hair in pigtails. I remember everything.
Yeah, I remember you guys were, like, in, like, this little, like, side hallway, too, when I first met you guys. Like, I just remember, like, this enclosed spot when I met you guys, but.
Yeah, because I was the only girl, so they gave me my own little space. Yeah. And then once I got changed, because everybody was dumped in that room, then they came over and invaded my room. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, that's always how it works. But another one of my favorite things, and this actually has nothing to do with me. This is, like, my favorite match of yours. And I, like, it was at Shimmer, and I loved it. Is you versus Cat Powers. It was so funny. Because, okay, obviously, everybody knows Daphne has this bubbly personality and, like, just a jokester and a prankster. And Cat Powers was actually doing a gimmick where she was acting like a cat. So you come out with a ball of yarn, and you're throwing it around the ring, and Cat's chasing it, like, sporadic. And, oh, my God. I don't think I've laughed at a match that I was watching live in person more than that, and it was spectacular.
Thank you. It was very hard.
I can imagine.
It was very hard to get Jelly, or that's what I called Dave Prazak, because we used to do commentator, and I was Peanut Butter, and he was Jelly. So yeah. I'd be like, Jelly. He'd be like, what's up, PB? And I'm like, so do you know what Cat Power's original wrestling name was? Do you know what it was?
He changed it.
No, she was like Brittany or Bet something, like two just regular American woman names.
Yeah.
And so we looked on the tag for a suitcase, and I was like, Catherine Powers. I was like, who's Catherine Powers? And she's like, I am. And I went, wait a minute. It's spelled with a C. I said, your name is Cat Powers. I was like, we're changing your name right now. He changed her name. I don't remember if she was already doing the cat gimmick and we changed her name, or she changed her name and the gimmick at the same time. I think she was already doing this, like, cat thing. And then I'm like, you got to be Cat Power. And I said, Jelly, the next set of tapings, I want to do a feud with Cat Power. And can I use a ball of yarn? And he says, Phoebe, if you bring a ball of yarn, then you can use it. And I'm like, fuck yeah. And from then on, it was on. And one of the coolest things, I think, like, fan-wise, is, like, somebody ended up having their handle be, say, Shimma Down Meow. Yeah. That was the big promo of the meow. Cat Power Meow, you need to Shimma Down Meow. And so, and it's such an aged joke for, like, my generation that watched Donna Summer or whatever, Shimmer Down Now. Yeah. But it just fit. And so you say, oh, Shimmer Down. And she was so, like, a sponge. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you give her a little inch, and she took the whole damn ball of yarn. You know what I mean? So the only thing we didn't think is it would get – it would keep unraveling and unraveling so much. So we did almost trip up in it a couple of times. But it was fun to just pick it up and go, look, yarn, and then she gets distracted like this, and then you – it was fun. It was so fun.
It was. I talk about this kind of frequently. There's not a lot of matches. Like, I'm terrible, terrible at remembering matches or finishes or whatever, especially if I am not in the match. There are certain matches I remember, and it's my perspective, and that's it. And that match, like, I remember, like, all of it, and I'm just like, this is fantastic. And honestly, one of my favorite matches of all time, just because I was so engaged in it, watching it backstage, and just laughing my ass off, legitimately.
Dave always would always have to give me the comedy stuff, because he knew I could do it.
Yeah.
So I never got a title shot. I never got a nothing. But looking back, it's like, not everybody can be a champion. So I gotta, you know, take it where I can get it. And I think I made my mark when I was there, when I was able
to
wrestle.
Of course you did.
It was fun. The last couple times I went to Shimmer, I was only able to manage, but it was still cool just being in that locker room.
Yeah.
There's nothing like it.
It isn't. And especially to see where a lot of the younger talent, especially at that time, have done in their careers now and where they are. It's just, it's fantastic. And I mean, I'm not the only person that says this, that, you know, the women's revolution or evolution, whatever you want to call it, in WWE really started with Shimmer Wrestling in Chicago and that tiny little Eagles club.
The Eagles Nest in Bourbon, Illinois. I miss that place so much.
Me too.
I'll go back.
I feel like pictures from there, and I'm just like, oh, I could, like, tell you the ups and downs and the backwards and everything of that building just because it's so small, but it's such a, like, great place to be and be a part of what happened in that building.
It's like our ECW arena.
It really is for women's wrestling.
Mm-hmm. That's how I feel.
Yeah,
I mean, because, and I agree with that, too, because, like, and again, this is not me trying to put myself over. It's just when people think, oh, the women's revolution started when WWE decided to get rid of the Divas belt, or is it whenever they decided to make it, you know, an actual women's championship and try to say they were going to take it serious? Mm-hmm. And that year, Charlotte Flair did a moonsault to the outside. I think it was a three-way match.
Probably.
Both of them. But so that was the first time she'd ever done it on TV. You know, it was like, whoa, oh my God, moonsault to the outside. Women's wrestling is here. And I'm thinking, Hamada's debut match. The middle of 2010, she moonsaulted to me to the outside through a table. Mm-hmm. Oh, that wasn't the beginning of the women's revolution? Oh, you know,
well,
it's like, you know what I mean? It's like they don't realize. And then that 5 years before that, Shimmer was starting.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't, you know, and then Deuce did her bit. She would go to Japan and Medusa did. So, but I really think the start of it is like Shimmer.
I do too. I mean, of course, you have the women who paved the way. You have your Medusas, you have your Sensational Sherrys, and no matter what you think about Moolah, she's part of it too. But it wasn't where it was taken seriously by us women. Men didn't really take it as seriously. And I think in 2005, when Dave started Shimmer, I don't think he thought it was going to evolve into what it did. I would love to have Dave on here. If I could get Dave Prazak on my podcast, that would be the day.
I don't think
he's ever done it. You know what? I am going to bug him. I'm writing it down right now. I am going to email him and never give up until I get him on here.
I hear you. He's an introvert, but I love him to death.
Yeah, everybody does. I mean, like
Genius.
I said, he is basically the godfather of women's wrestling right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you look at the WWE roster, NXT roster, Impact roster, a few women from AEW, not as many as WWE in Impact and stuff like that. I mean, a good majority of them at least passed through the Shimmer doors once. And we're even talking about Beth Phoenix, who's retired and doing commentary. We're talking about Natty, who has been with WWE for, what, 10-plus years now, I believe?
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
A lot of the women have at least graced that door at least once. And then you get talking about Bayley. Bayley was there for quite a long time. Fortunately, Sasha and Charlotte never came through Shimmer, but that's okay because we also have Becky Lynch, who is, I mean, the man. I mean, she is what really, I think in the last probably 4 or 5 years, the way that it was re-evaluated in wrestling is because of her, mostly because of just the impact that she had when she was doing the whole man character.
Mm.
But anyway, I digress.
No, I mean, it's true. Like, people don't realize that, I mean, I have the Shimmer roster calendar, and, I mean, it's got, she was the Victoria Knox.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, is that right?
Rebecca Knox.
Oh, she was Rebecca. Yeah, Rebecca Knox, that's right. And all the people that are on there, just like Del Rey, and who's, you know, our first Shimmer ever, for the first ever Shimmer champion, and also the head. So that's who they handpick to train their women. So I think that kind of speaks to herself right there.
Yeah, I actually got to wrestle Del Rey, I think, a month before she was officially gone. Like, she had, like, a couple of dates left, and I was one of those within that time frame. And I've wrestled her probably 10, 15 times and tagged with her a couple of times. I mean, the lessons I learned as a seriously green person in the wrestling business at that time is just there's no, I mean, she pushed me out of my limits. I was super green, like I said, and just, you know, I learned so much in that little 5, 10, 15 minute matches that I had with her. Like, I really wish, like, I had more of those matches on, like, DVD or online or something that I could find, because there's a reason why WWE picked her to be their head trainer. I mean, she's not just the women's trainer either. She's one of the head trainers.
She's awesome. She deserves every ounce of it, too. She works so hard. She lives it, breathes it. So
I was I actually, when I did some extra work for WWE, I was like, I don't remember. There was other girls there, but I don't know if I knew who the girls were. So I was just kind of sitting alone by myself, like, just chilling outside of catering. And she walked by, and she's like, Stephanie? And I was like, Sarah? I didn't know she was traveling at that time, but she was actually doing some producing, too, of some of the matches on TV. And I was like, I'm so excited. Like, I totally didn't expect to see her. And then, of course, because I'm, like, right outside of catering and everybody sees me talking to Sarah, so people are, like, the people who don't know me there were, like, who is this girl talking to Sarah? Like, should we know who that is?
Exactly. Don't you love it when that happens? You're like, oh, yeah, no, never mind.
No, I'm just here for extra work, guys.
Yeah. Man, she's genius. Mm-hmm. She really is. I feel my last match was actually the 10-year anniversary. It was like December something of 2010, whatever. But it was it's on YouTube, and it was my me and Sarita, Sarah Stock versus the beautiful. I'm sorry.
I love her too.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah, and we were tagging together, and we were heels, but we had been feuding. Like, my last time I had there been there months prior, whatever it was. And I'm still concussed, so I honestly, they said they weren't going to renew my contract because of my physique, because I got fat. Unless I was like, well, because I got a concussion in June, and yeah. I'm trying to get, you know, I can't do anything. But so they said, well, we're going to do a week of taping, so it was going to be the first week of December, and the first night was that match. And I said, well, we got to watch my head. And they're like, well, okay, we'll protect you. I just watched it again the other day. And I'd come in for the heat, and I do a couple things. And at the end, I take the whole comeback, and I take the pin. Mm-hmm. So it took me until I was kind of like out of wrestling to kind of realize that. Like, it doesn't really matter. It's just an imagine. It does matter if you win or lose.
Mm-hmm.
It does. It was ingrained into my brain. When I was being brought up, it doesn't matter if you lose. It's fake.
Same.
But when I teach my seminars, I say, you fucking sure does. Trust me. Because once you get pigeonholed into this little category and you've never, you know, all you do is, and that's what happened. I feel that's what happened to me.
Yeah.
So, so that match, I don't really consider that a match. And you can hear the crowd and they're going, tag in Daphne. And Sarah goes, I don't care what you want. She's trying to heel on the crowd in there. And I'm just going, yeah. Screw you, office. Screw you, office. I'm about to file a workers' comp claim. Screw all of you. No, I didn't know it at that point. I was just really irritated.
Yeah.
So I consider my last match to be a match I had in Ohio against Del Rey. And she's like, I'm just going to do all Kevin Nash offense on you. And I was like, hell yeah. She got the corner. She's doing the boom, just back to back. And, but then she, I'm also super bendy. So she was putting me in a lot of like holds and she protected my head so good. And I think I didn't let go on an we did that spot and on an inverted DDT. I think I didn't quite let go. Cause she was like, oh, you know, the DDT. And I said, honey, I don't have any business being in the ring the only reason why I kept the booking is because there was a plane fare attached. Mm-hmm. I said, I don't even want to be out there. Mm-hmm. All my bookings that were local, I canceled them all. And then my contract, my last match was in December, and then my contract expired in March. But mm-hmm. I never set foot in a ring after the match where I got pinned by Angelina pinned me. I think I took Botox injection or whatever that one is. Lights out? I don't know.
No, I think she called it the Botox injection, if I remember correctly. Because I think I've taken that too. The bicycle kick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was the last match. But mm-hmm. I considered the one with Del Rey. It was singles. It was longer. It was very creative. But I can watch that and I can see I don't look like myself. I mean, the last 6 months of 2010, I shouldn't have really been doing anything. In hindsight,
right?
I wasn't safe. I wasn't safe enough, let's say.
Okay.
I didn't, you know, because I get so irritated when I hear people purposely are getting intoxicated or doing things before shows, before you perform. I have never done that in my life. It's hard. It's enough pressure to make sure that no one gets injured with a clear head and both being injury free than it is to put anything in play. So I was constantly feeling lightheaded and, you know, going out to through the go position and I'm hazy. Like, that's not safe.
Right.
That's not safe. So, but there's no concussion protocol. So thanks, Chris Nowinski.
Yeah. At least it's moving in the right direction. Whether or not it's perfect, we'll have to see in the future, unfortunately.
Yeah.
All right, Dav. Well, I absolutely love you, and I know I could sit on here and talk to you for like 3-4 hours easily. Oh, hi, Pumpkin.
She came. She says, I want to be on the podcast. This is Hazel.
Hi, Hazel.
Hazel the Good Witch. And you kiss? Mwah. That's the affection I get nowadays. Here you go, honey. You're okay.
My dog would do the exact same if I let him come down here.
She's a sweet thing.
I could talk to you for hours and even days. In fact, I know we're going to have a lengthy conversation after I turn this camera off.
Yeah. But let's do it.
Fantastic. You are always welcome on anytime. Do you have any sort of social media or anything you want to put over?
Yeah, all the Twitter and the Instagram and the Snapchat, it's all Scream Queen Daff, all one word. And hopefully you know that my name has 2 F's. I still get that. I'm the biggest fan, Daphne. D-A-P-H-N-E. I'm like,
no. Oh, yeah. That's a Scooby-Doo. That's not me.
And then I am doing Twitch. I've had the channel for like a couple of years, and I just never really did anything with it. But when I see this new doctor and start a new workout regimen, I'm going to be doing DDP yoga on my Twitch channel. So, because I'm not a big gamer.
Yeah,
I play the simple ones, but so that and then I start back college on the I'm getting my second. I didn't tell you that. Yeah, I'm getting my second.
Awesome.
Yeah, so I'll say that I was like, okay, so that's one of the reasons why I took the seminar is because I'm saving up trying to pay for tuition for college. All my credits transferred except for, like I'm like a midway through my junior year, so I have a year and a half. So I've got to come up with the money for the tuition and stuff. And right now I'm doing student loans, but I'm getting my degree in human services and I want to like be a patient advocate. And I want to have a concentration in mental illness because of all the experience I have with that.
Thanks. Yeah, that's perfect for somebody like you who's already gone through so much of an experience. And if you can make somebody else's experience that much better, it's totally worth it.
Yeah, and so I thought, you know, I'll do that. So my Twitch channel will be I'm going to be having it all scheduled out where this is what I'm studying. Here's where we take a break and we stream a workout session or whatever. So I've got it all set up, but I just haven't activated it yet or anything. I'm trying to get the enrollment of school. Mm-hmm. It's like 99% done. I have to have one more thing, and then I can log into this portal. And then I have 8 hours of orientation to watch.
Oh, goodness gracious.
So, yeah. But I think it's going to be worth it. Since I don't have that long left, it should be okay. But my Twitch channel is just Daphne Unger.
Okay.
So, but everything else is that. And my Etsy store is Daphne Unger, and that'll be open up in a couple of weeks. And all the proceeds for that goes to school for me as well.
Awesome. All right, Daphne. Hey. Thank you so much for joining me. And like I said, invitation's always open to come discuss more. And I mean, like I said, there's so many different subjects we could do a podcast about.
I know, right?
All right, guys, until next time.
Bye.
Thank you.
Hey, this is the Total Package, Lex Luger, and you're listening to the VOC Nation. Don't miss out.
Check out In the Room
every Tuesday night at 9. Listen in.
Pro Wrestling Illustrated's Brady Hicks, former WCW star Stro Maestro, Cassie Fist, Matt Grimm.
And you and Ray are there too, right, Ray?
We sure are, and we've got great guests like Lex Luger, AJ Styles, Taku, and more. It's a heck of a party. Plus,
I didn't get thrown off buildings.
And then
I didn't get pregnant either.
Sometimes I think it gets so ridiculous.
We were getting into like snuff film territory there.
In the Room.
9 p.m. Eastern on VOC Nation.
Wrestling with History, the voice of choice, and Killer Can Wrestling.
When I die, they're going to open me up and find about 2,000 undigested Northwest Airlines cheese omelets.
Mr. Chris Cruz, what's going on?
Jesus, how did I get roped into this?
General Adnan went to school with Saddam Hussein.
He cried, I cried, he cried, and who could have cried?
Adnan lost a lot of family in the Iraqi war.
Everybody loves Granny.
Wow. Yeah, see, a lot of people don't know that.
Yes, Dylan, you guys are busting me up.
Catch Wrestling with History with Ken Resnick and I live on VOCNation.com Wednesday nights at 9:30 Eastern Time, or listen to the podcast by searching VOC Nation Radio Network on your favorite podcast app.
Stadium Journey, the worldwide leader in stadium reviews for the traveling sports fan, is proud to present the Stadium Journey podcast on VOC Nation. Join us as we talk with prominent figures from around the sports world to discuss issues pertaining to sports travel and stadiums around the globe. New episodes air on VOC Nation Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Join Paul Baker, Dave Cartney, Mark Viquez, Dan Calachico, and guests from throughout the sports world on the Stadium Journey podcast on VOC Nation.
Each and every Thursday night, check it out. WCW star Stro Maestro takes you on a journey. It's WCW Retro. Talking old school match of the week, talking dream matches, taking your calls and looking back on an incredible career of acting, entertaining, and wrestling. Check it out. VOCNation.com. WCW Retro. Be sure to call in Thursday nights, 9 Eastern, on the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Rock and Roll Union and North Step Productions, in conjunction with Boo Ray Atlantic City, proudly present Jersey Shore Jam 2, May 15th, featuring As We Become Ghosts and Rat Rod. It's been a long, cold winter, and now it's time to rock. Also appearing, the Rock and Roll Union house band, Shades of Grey, playing all of your favorites from the 60s to now. All COVID regulations will be in place. Tickets are available at Eventbrite.com and are extremely limited, so get them before they run out. Doors open at 6 and showtime is at 7. Rat Rod, As We Become Ghosts, and Shades of Grey. Jersey Shore Jam 2, May 15th at Blu Ray, 201 South New York Avenue, Atlantic City. Did I mention there's free parking? Don't miss it.
Yo, this is Jerry Stags of the Nasty Boys. Yeah, Brian Knobs here. You getting ready to get nasty? Well, listen to the VOC Nation, baby, because it's about to get nasty all around and up in this mother. Get ready. Nasty Sensation is coming at you.
The worldwide leader in entertainment. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.